If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
My voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted, that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in? Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. I could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it? Because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription. And then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm feeling it or something.
This is Tedious on therightstuff.biz.
I was thinking maybe the better bit would be if I just lean into it. I just lean into, while you're recovering from surgery, I can just talk about how bad my back hurts. And try to turn around and try to get you to feel bad for me. Like, I just, sitting here is just agony. Bad.
Look, I'm an infinite well of compassion, my friend.
Since when?
I am an emotional vampire, I'll take
I've always been known for my compassion.
I did such minimal, like, maintenance work around my house yesterday, and I am in so much pain sitting here. My fucking back is killing me. My lumbar.
Well,
I don't know why.
Home improvement is where it all started with me. Too,
I climbed up on an extension ladder, and I was drilling screws into the spindles on the horrifically designed deck that I have that needs to be just, I want it, I look at this deck and I want to tear it down and rebuild it. But I also don't want to do anything.
Wait, are you
that's a lot of
screws into the rotten deck to secure the rotten deck to the side of your house?
Well, it's not rotten. No, and I'm securing the spindles. You know, the way I see
it. Is that
deck,
the upper or lower?
The upper deck. I also secured the, there was two loose steps on the lower deck. I'm sure you've noticed in the path. Those are now secure.
Man, but, I could have killed myself.
Sounds
I
know like you need to sign a release form before you even go out on that deck.
Well, I don't know. I guess I don't know what this state does.
No, I reserve my right to sue.
I don't know if this state has, like, building inspectors, because it's like, how do you have a deck that's a story up, and it's got, like, the railing for the deck is held up by this, by the 1x1 spindles, or the 2x2 spindles, excuse me.
That does seem kind of.
There's no
precarity.
Seems extremely dangerous.
There's supposed to be a 4x4 post every 8 feet in my world, at least every 8 feet, if not every 6 feet. And this is just like, nope, there's a 2x6, and it's just wrapped, and it's just being held up by spindles that you smash into
with
the snow
shovel.
I wish
I had realized that before. I'm never going out on that deck again.
Well, you just don't go anywhere near the railing. Just sit on the chair. I'm worried about
is
small
this
children.
Deck off the ground.
It's a story up. It's probably 10 feet up there.
It's more than that.
You know what? And he was
telling
me earlier.
Slope.
So yeah, you're
right.
Telling me earlier, his yard is full of rocks. So you,
it's true. You fall.
The deck collapses.
Rocks.
You fall down onto the
rocks. Deck is
directly
not. No, 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 no,
rocks,
no, no, no.
Sharp,
deck's,
pointy rocks. Yes.
The deck's not going to collapse. What it is if you lean or try to sit on the railing, you're going down.
That railing is not sturdy. I don't lean on that.
You mean like in a spaghetti western?
Yeah. I just don't. Just stay away from it. Just don't go anywhere.
And kids are the worst because they don't have judgment. So.
Kids are horrible. I fucking hate them.
Luckily, they are not. They don't weigh as much as adults. But don't put any weight on that. I don't go near the railing.
If not for kids, there would just be no railing. Adults know to stay away from it. We would just sit over
there.
Well,
that would still be kind of weird.
Just kidding. But I'm out there driving. And then the entire deck is put together with nails. I'm like, You know, it's not like it's easier to use nails to put a deck together. It just means, like, there was that much more work, unless you had a nail gun, I guess. But it's like, you had to bash these nails into place, and they you can just move them, because they're not threaded. It's like, what kind of piece of shit would put a deck together like this, with nails?
I don't think you understand the joy of hammering nails.
No, I don't think you understand the joy of, like, using a screw gun, using a drill, and being done that much faster, and having a that much more securely put together deck than with a bunch of fucking... They weren't even, like, the fluted...
It's not about the destination, it's about the journey.
Well, the journey is off of a 15-foot drop from my deck.
Yeah, right, the journey is very...
The journey is down the stairs when you tumble.
You probably won't die.
No, you just be...
If you fall that...
It'd be awful.
You will have back problems.
I have back problems from trying to fix it.
Right, well... You know, good luck.
I know. Mike, my back is killing me. Mike, what are you going to do? Mike,
look, I know. My back is actually getting a lot better. That's why I'm in the chair now. And I'm not, like, all gimped up the way I was. I looked at some of the video of the shows we did, like, last week, and I was all like,
Yeah.
So we found the solution. We're just going to make Mike's back. Hurt.
My back was like,
yeah,
like I was moving my arms without moving anything else. And you look all stupid when you do that, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I'm all like,
I saw that Mike posted something in the chat, but I just want to, like, run over that because I was looking at Ranbot's feed earlier and he posted this.
What, on Twitter?
No, this is from the place we don't talk about.
Is this just
he titled this Big Meat Raffle Hour.
Hang on a second. Let me.
What am I looking at here?
I haven't done this yet. Display. Not display.
This
window
is not
capture.
Something I really feel like wasting time on.
It's got
window.
Me
very Hi,
Mike. Curious.
There we go. So this is meat.
All right. So you got meat that's vacuum sealed, and then there's like a pack.
It's not vacuum sealed that much.
It looks moist, and it looks like there's
looks like there's some condensation.
But it's not cooked.
Is that coleslaw in there?
What?
It's probably lamb. These
that
fucking
cheese,
is Aussies.
That
all they do,
what is that?
It's all Aussies do is eat lamb. There's probably just the fat from the back of a lamb. It's probably wool. Probably haven't shorn it. You have to shave your fucking steak because you're in Australia and they're just eating fucking sheep and lamb.
I'm not sure what I'm looking at here. That's the thing.
I don't know what I'm looking at. Like, is that
barbecue
fat sauce
on the top of that?
I guess so. That's what the color looks like to me.
He hasn't answered yet.
All right, well...
There's people speculating, like, in the comments, what the fuck that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that a ranch?
What is it? It's like 1:30 in the morning there now, so I don't think he's going to be answering anytime soon.
Well, whatever.
I need his phone number. Just call him up in the night and be like, dude, explain to me what this fucking vacuum seal is.
You just wake him up.
Just...
Anyway.
I wanted to talk about this. Is something you're going to enjoy, Alex.
Yeah, we're going to start with the Innocence Project,
right? Even if you
think
that you're not. So the Pennsylvania Innocence Project. Now, I want to stress here that this is not unique to Pennsylvania.
It's the one you hear about a lot.
You hear about it a lot because it's Philly. Philly is one of the worst crime cities in America, and the district attorney or the attorney there is Larry Krasner.
There are several cases where someone's been convicted, and then, like, years later, a prosecutor or a judge, like, comes out and says that the outcome was wrong, and here's why. It's like, well, who got to you? Who made you change your mind? Like, you don't just, like, when you never hear of a prosecutor or a cop saying that a collar that they got was wrong. Like, they're always proud of it. Like, that's their number. That's like if Derek Jeter
used to be, that's their job.
That's like if Derek Jeter started telling you that, like, his leadoff hitting was like some kind of scam, and it's like, oh
yeah,
I'm
really
not proud of that.
Good,
I wasn't really
a good
hitter.
It's
like, yeah, no, fuck you.
Don't get on base.
That's how prosecutors and cops look at shit. Like, they fucking their collars, their numbers. So to have people constantly coming out, and they're always in these really shitty cases, either involving, like, Jew gangsters or, like, niggers in politically charged cases.
Overwhelmingly, it's blacks. There's a few cases where it's a Jew that killed somebody with garden shears, which we've gone over that crazy case. But it's overwhelmingly blacks, and increasingly these – and it is the Soros DAs. Like, Larry Krasner is one. Some of them are Jewish. Many of them are black. Some of them are even white, depending. But a lot of them, Jews and blacks dominate the Soros DA field. There's a few, like, cuck whites in there. But apparently this is something that was even going on prior to Larry Krasner starting his job as the Philadelphia attorney. But I would say this also, that like this is overwhelmingly these innocence projects, these things about like going back using, you know, questioning convictions of black criminals, etc. There's a new thing where and it seems to be starting to fall out of favor, because some of the people doing this, like Rochelle Rollins and a few others, have now lost their jobs and been forced into retirement. Hmm. I don't know if that means the policies will change. What they were doing was literally they weren't bragging about making prosecutions, like actually getting criminals behind bars. They were bragging about how many cases previously that they were overturning.
Right.
That was what Rochelle Rollins and such was talking about. And I think it was her.
Fetterman likes it.
Or the other one who looks just like her, because she and another one look identical to each other. They're both fat, black, mulatto women. And they were literally talking about like thousands of people behind bars, it's like just, getting let out. And, and it's just like, that's going to be a nightmare. And here's why.
Yeah.
So we actually have this story, which is from yesterday. Philly man got $4 million after his murder case was overturned. He's now accused of murder over $1,200. So let's just start reading the article. This is from penlive.com, which is the
this nigga's name is Patriot News. It's like Sean with an R in it. It's like when you say turlet.
Yeah, it's
like
Shorn. Oh, Warsh. I didn't even notice that.
Shorn Thomas. Oh, you don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month, unless you're using, like, e-checks. Then there's some extra fees, because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. The point is, we need your support. You can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content, these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use Z-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when, because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription.
It's Sean.
Sean Thomas. Sean Thomas was a millionaire, but prosecutors say
he killed a typo. But anyway, let's keep going.
He says he killed a man over a $1,200 drug debt. So this innocent man is, so he's dealing drugs and murdering people. Thomas was paid more than $4 million 3 years ago after spending 24 years behind bars for a murder conviction that was later overturned. And yet a witness said in court Monday he fatally shot a man on a North Philadelphia street corner earlier this year over the comparatively paltry sum. He said it was on the principle.
Right. Well, see, this is like at least there's an ethos here. There's a principle here.
Well, it's disrespect.
Yes, yeah. You're a millionaire.
Yeah.
But if you let some nigga shaft you for $1,200. That's a clout destroying move. I mean, well, it's also let that go.
You let $1,200 slide. How many times before you're not a millionaire anymore, nigga?
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Look, if you let these niggas, you know, I'm telling you, man, they're shady. They'll backstab you. They're not going to pay you. If you let them go, if you let it be known on the street that somebody didn't pay you $1,200 that owed you. Forget about it.
I just love Sean. You're just done. Sean, you spent 24 years behind bars for a crime you didn't commit. What are you going to do with your new lease on life? Gang shit.
Well, let's what's the likelihood that he didn't commit that crime? And the thing is, even if he didn't commit that specific crime, he was a criminal.
There other crimes.
But I just like I'm not saying he didn't do that crime. I'm just saying, like, what are you going to do now that you're out? And the answer is, like, more gang shit. It's hilarious.
Right.
24 years.
The fact of the matter is.
So he's been out of the game. He's been out of the game.
I don't even know the details. Sorry.
He's out of the game for a long ass time to get come right out swinging like that. I mean, and you got.
But when you get $4 million, you're right back in it. You don't even have to work. It's not like you're just back on the street and you got to work your way. No, he had $4 million. He had the seed money for a whole new business.
The seed oils. He had the seed oils.
Which I'm presuming he used it, right? So this is the thing. I don't know the details of the case that his conviction was overturned. Either. Maybe, like, legitimately. He didn't kill that nigga.
Oh, come on.
But as it turns out, he killed other niggas. And so he was in the mix. when this murder happened, and he was a member.
Yeah. He in a game.
And look, I get it that you're not supposed to be like, well,
in some countries, I mean, not countries, in some states, though, if you are an accessory, then you get charged with the murder.
As like, is actually happening now in this case, and this case gets even worse. So yeah, he said it was the principal, Ketrovici, accused of being Thomas's getaway driver in the new crime, testified through tears on the witness stand. Thomas confessed to the killing as she drove them both back to her house afterwards.
She said Thomas confessed to the killing.
She said Thomas confessed to the killing. Okay. She also, well, it'll come. We'll just keep reading. Thomas stands accused of killing 38-year-old Akeem Edwards, who was fatally shot on the 3500 block of Germantown Avenue on January 3rd. Germantown. Well, here's the other thing.
Welcome to Germantown.
Who used to live there? Why is it called Germantown? Who used to live there? It's not called that for no reason. It's not. That wasn't an arbitrary title. It was just called because
Jermaine Jackson used to live there.
Yes. Jermaine Jackson.
I used to know a nigger named Jermaine.
Yeah. The name of this district of Philadelphia was very germane to the people that actually lived there.
Very nice. It's a good one.
Thank you. Very good.
I feel like I should be doing drops.
So, yeah, Germantown. It's just another thing. Like, so, yeah, the Germans, they don't live there anymore. They used to. You know, back when Philadelphia was a new place.
Are these the Germans that Franklin was talking about with the dark complexion and the?
These are the Germans. Ben Franklin.
These are Ben Franklin's Germans
with their dark complexion. By the way, I was actually told that those quotes aren't fake, but Ben Franklin was basically shitposting.
Yeah, he was trolling.
When he said it. Yeah. So those are early examples of shitposting.
So he would enjoy our irreverent. What's the word?
Oh, dude, they love banter back in the day. Those guys, they were all about the bants. Except you can't quite detect it because their banter is still in that.
That's so dry.
Old-timey. Yeah. Well, one, I'm telling you, man.
Also,
English
it's like,
is the language of dry humor. It is literally the language of sarcasm and dry humor because you're supposed to pick up on the fact that somebody's just bullshitting you. A lot of times, funny enough, German people. Who have a more literal language and are more literal minded.
Yeah, I don't like it.
They like don't like they see English speakers and Americans and English doing like dry sarcastic humor and they're like
basically you talk about like Tony Hovater in a powdered wig comes at you like, and you just don't know what to do.
When they see these people when they see us in our dry humor, what are the Germans gonna think? They're gonna say these people are crazy.
Yeah, no, I remember that episode of TDS when we had on Gamar Rudolph, right?
Oh our humor was
Yeah.
But yes, they're very much. Well, he said they say boy shorts.
He thought they were boy
shorts.
So
I assumed that these were shorts.
Right. Shirts.
I'm like, look, it's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable to think very that. Well, once you see what they look like, you maybe are like, okay.
Well, they're just like flashy workout gear. They're just, you know.
Well, that's true. Germans are all about that hot pink and pastel colors.
I mean, go ask. We were talking about Andre Agassi the other day. It's like, come on, ask him. These hot pink tight shorts. Oh, those look cool. I'm gonna put those on. And
now, here's what's funny. Yeah, I remember saying
that's like Europe in general. Though that's not even just Germans. Like Europe thinks that hot pink is supposed to be just a cool color.
So here's what's funny. 1989.
I remember saying that I felt like this was a gay op because you know think about the war. The Germans, everyone acknowledges, even people that hate Nazis acknowledge that they had like the snappiest, coolest uniforms, the best style sense of any of the armies, right? In fact, it's a cliche at this point, right? Literally, the Germans looked cool. They were the most style. And what colors were they using? They were using black, brown, red, and white. Those were the colors they were using, which are respectable colors, right? And you don't want to go too much with the red, but it was just used for accents. Very tasteful. Just red accents. They weren't going full red. You know, it was mostly black and brown with like red and white accents. Very, very cool looking. But, so like they used to have this good fashion sense and actually dressed respectable and men looked like men. And now look at the kind of crap that they're wearing. I think this is a Jewish gay op to make them look stupid as sort of a revenge thing. And somebody said to me recently, like, no, but Mike, go back and look at the kind of shit they wore in like the Middle Ages and like the military uniforms of some of the dress uniforms of some of these military outfits and units. And like even in Britain, like there were like particular units of the military that were known for wearing like hot pink pants. And this was like considered to be like very high class and something that you were looked up to for wearing. And And, you know, anyway, so, and I mean, dude, even go to like the Vatican and look at the dress uniforms of the guards at the Vatican, which are supposedly designed by Michelangelo, like whatever. Anyway,
what does that guy know?
That's enough of that digression.
He's not painting the ceiling. He doesn't know anything.
That's enough about that digression. So anyway,
and talk about back problems.
No, he had a thing he would lay on. He had a big, like a dolly. He was suspended from.
They had a whole gear, and he also didn't do all the painting. He had a whole crew of people with him. Anyway, I actually regret this digression because whenever we do this,
you're saying he's the Rick.
The guys that edit our videos. This kind of stuff makes it impossible.
He's the Rick.
I don't give a shit about a video editor.
Don't you say he's the Rick Rubin of interior design. He just like takes a nap and a bunch of other guys paint the ceiling for him. It looks good.
Except the difference is he actually is coming up with genius work at the end, and Rick Rubin is coming up with utter trash.
I like that dark bit over there. That looks kind of cool.
Yeah, like Rick Rubin is working on
whatever
Kesha's
you're
comeback.
Keep doing it.
Kesha, we need a comeback record.
I don't think I should do like that, Rick.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Try it.
Yeah. The difference is that, you know, the end product of Michelangelo lying around on a thing while other people do the painting is like masterworks of Western art that
lying
will
last around
forever.
On scaffold.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So
where were we? We're back in Katravici. Thomas stands.
Yeah, I'm going to keep. Yeah.
Oh, Thomas stands accused of killing a 30. Oh, we already did that. Prosecutors also added a new charge of witness intimidation.
Yes.
Saying Thomas sought to have VC killed earlier this spring because he thought she might have spoken to authorities. VC pleaded guilty. Is that? I guess that's the way you're supposed to say it, right?
Yeah, that's the way you're.
That's
supposed
like
to
that's
say
like
it.
Rich Evans and Mike Stoklaus. So like,
you it's hang, pleaded.
Your mother
pled,
hanged.
It's
your mother
hanged,
hanged herself,
not hung.
Yeah. I know. She pleaded guilty on Friday to counts including conspiracy and aggravated assault, prosecutors said. The news of Thomas's arrest earlier this spring.
Now,
this
I don't believe.
Okay.
I don't believe this. Listen to what they say. The news of Thomas's arrest earlier this spring and its connections to VC stunned many in the criminal justice system. Well, if it did, then I question, and I guess it would have to, because of what they had previously done in this case. But it doesn't stun me, and it doesn't.
Oh, hey, Guy. Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
It's done anybody who actually looks at reality. Again, the issue is, you're only stunned if you believe the bullshit that you're told. Yeah. And one wonders, it's always an eternal debate here. Do they believe it or are they faking or some combination of the two? I don't know the answer, but I do know that that people get rewarded for faking and they get punished for saying what's true in this system.
Who's going to say this is not a surprising outcome?
Who's going to pretend they're not stunned?
The guy who just lost his job and got canceled is going to say that, right?
Like, yeah, the guy who says, oh, well, that's typical. That was bound to happen. He's going to be
out. He's gone. You're out.
So you got to act, son.
So
his case was overturned just months before District Attorney Larry Krasner was sworn into office. And dramatically expanded the office's focus on reviewing old convictions. The settlement of his lawsuit came as prosecutors had begun helping to overturn dozens of other old cases, nearly all of them murder. So this case is not just that it's a random case. It's a case that is credited with, at least in the story they tell, with the inspiration to do this more. And this supposedly affect. Now, I don't buy it for a second. Larry Krasner came in with an agenda, but supposedly Larry Krasner saw this and he's like, I'm now dedicating. This is the story they tell, right? I am now dedicating myself to reviewing these old cases. Like, no, I don't believe it. You came in with an agenda. You always wanted to do this. This was your job.
Yeah.
So it says many of the men who've been released from prison. This is where it starts getting very funny. So remember, this black was involved in some gang shit.
This is my favorite part. Yeah.
This is, he was involved in some gang shit, presumably. He goes to jail on a murder. He gets out. They give him $4 million because supposedly he spent 24 years in jail for no reason, supposedly. And it gets even better. Many of the men who've been released from prison as a result have gone on to form friendships and stayed in touch with each other.
In other words, criminal syndicate. In other words, they form criminal syndicates together.
So VC,
they're gangs.
Testified Monday she met Thomas through that close-knit network. Both were connected.
The wrongfully accused.
Both were connected to the Pennsylvania Innocence Project, which helped free Thomas, and which also supported VC's brother, Willie, whose murder case was overturned in 2019. So, here we have the Pennsylvania Innocence Project. It is letting gang niggas out of jail. It is giving gang niggas millions of dollars
seed
to
capital.
Start new gang business, to do more gang shit. And it's putting them in touch with each other to form new criminal gangs. So literally, this Sean Thomas was let out of jail. He was given millions of dollars. And the connections he made from other niggas let out of jail, they just formed a new criminal gang.
Why would you do this?
Because his accomplice was the sister of another nigga that was let out of jail under the same program.
This is really endangers a certain assumption.
What are they going to do? Start a fucking landscaping company? Start like a.
What did you think he was going to do with
drywall
the million?
Finishing? You just start a drywall business.
You don't need to start anything. You can retire.
Can you retire on $4 million in America?
But why?
Yeah.
But it's about the game, Alex.
It's about the game.
Look, the streets call to you, man. You can't just lay
question.
Back and
here's
be complacent,
what I'm
man.
About,
the game
right?
calls. You gotta, be out
this,
there.
Say, poverty causes crime. All right, we lift this guy out of poverty, made him into a millionaire.
In this case, millions of dollars cause crime, not poverty.
So
right?
That didn't work.
It's literally the opposite.
All right.
They figure out, right, so, if we let him out in poverty, the poverty is going to cause him to be a criminal again. So let's make him rich.
If you haven't read the article yet. In which you said you haven't. There's more details I haven't even
talked
about that
I'm
are just hilarious.
This.
A few years before her brother's release, BC said she and Thomas developed an on-again, off-again romantic relationship, meaning, you know, she was a side bitch. So last fall, she said, when she and Thomas were seeing one another, she told him, this is so funny, she told him she'd bought some bad weed from her friend Edwards. According to BC, that caused Thomas to ask her if Edwards might agree to sell some cocaine on his behalf.
Cocaine.
So this nigga ripped you off for some drug. That sounds like the kind of nigga I would like to work with in my new business, selling
terrible
cocaine.
Terrible business decisions.
Yeah, first of all, it's like, wait, but he's already known for ripping people off. Now you're saying I want to use
Robin.
Him to sell my cocaine?
His weed is
I
bad,
hope
Robin.
I did shoot this nigga.
This is not good weed, Robin.
Oh, he killed him.
It smells like, it smells like an Italian combo. Why does this bag of weed smell like garlic knots? Robin, I think he ripped this off. I don't know, it's a little tangy. Thought this was Germantown, not Little Italy.
Late last year, VC said Edwards and Thomas met to discuss the deal. She said Edwards took the drugs and told Thomas he'd pay him $1,200 from the proceeds. Edwards never paid. Wow, what a shock. VC said Thomas grew impatient. He regularly asked her if she'd seen Edwards or whether she'd heard him say anything about paying Thomas's money.
You're supposed to rip off the buyers, not me, Robin.
Then on January 3rd, BC said Thomas came to her Delaware home and drove with her into Philadelphia, where she was heading to pick up a rent check.
What? Is now their landlords, too?
The lives these black people lead, I mean, they're just filled with twists and turns.
They,
you know,
they
it's
don't
like,
have like a human resources department or something, so some sort of way to deal with these kinds of problems to employees that just don't result in immediate and brutal violence.
Well, that's not how it works. What's so funny to me is it's like, okay, so he came to her Delaware home and drove with her to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So was there any reason why he said, like, we're going to Philadelphia right now, bitch. Like, drive me to Philly right now. Is there any – supposedly she's saying she was heading to pick up a rent check, but she owns properties that she's renting? Or she's getting a check to pay her rent?
I don't know.
But either way, this sounds like a long drive.
I feel like this is either way. This seems like some kind of euphemism.
Delaware to Philly, depending, it doesn't necessarily have to be a long drive. But yeah, it's probably
a situation that I wouldn't characterize as a crime of passion. Is what I'm saying.
No. There's definitely Thomas. No, there's no question. It wasn't a crime of passion. Thomas went to her house, drive me to Philly so I can murder this nigga. It was basically what happened. I mean, I don't. If she's telling me that she didn't know that was the purpose, I don't believe it. I just don't buy it. Which is what she is saying, but I don't believe it for a second. And even if she's saying she did it because she was scared, which I would believe if she said I did it just because I was so afraid he was going to murder me, I'd be like, okay, I believe you, but I don't believe you didn't know. I don't believe you didn't know he was going to murder that nigga.
After stopping at her mother's old house to use the bathroom, VT said, Thomas said they should drive through the neighborhood looking for Edwards.
So at that point, it's like, okay, yeah.
Thomas,
what do you think he's going to do?
Thomas, they're going to have a conversation. Thomas spotted him on Germantown Avenue, then asked her to park, and he got out the car. VZ said she didn't know Thomas had a gun, which I don't. There's no way.
I don't believe you.
And didn't. And he. And she didn't want Edwards to be shot. Well, that makes you less guilty, I guess. She'd been friends with him since she was 16. Okay. Video played at Monday's hearing showed a man in a hoodie and jeans. Well, that's why you got to be racist against hoodies. I was taught that like this hoodie stuff was like a Republican white supremacist.
The nigga's wearing a hoodie that he's up to no good.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's not really the hoodie. It's the nigga.
Yeah.
Let's see a white kid in a hoodie and I don't make assumptions.
So a man in a hoodie and jeans walking up and down the block for a few minutes. The man, who prosecutors say is Thomas, can then be seen shooting Edwards while concealing his hands with a pizza box.
I'm kind of wondering the purpose of that, because it didn't seem to work. Like, the pizza box didn't... It's like, first of all, do niggas regularly walk around the ghetto, walk around the hood with a pizza box?
According to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, they do. He would hide his school books in there.
Same with, according to, like, Do the Right Thing, right? You know, Mookie's always walking around there with a pizza box, right?
Why the hell would you have to hide your books inside a pizza box?
I'm so glad you brought that
up. So all the niggas didn't know you had books, so they wouldn't kiss your ass for being a nerd.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned Do the Right Thing, because I was thinking about that when I saw this story this morning. I was like, man, this is just, like, just contrast this, like, harsh reality with, like, the portrayal of some stupid, like, black drama movie where, like, everyone's just trying to get by and accidentally just like fall into a massive violent crime that's not really their fault.
This is how it's always portrayed. Niggas is trying to get their life together and they accidentally go and do a triple homicide or something like that, right? And it's also like, I remember in Boys in the Hood, was it the one who's gonna go play football and then he just gets shot by the other gang niggas, right? And it's like that, at least that movie isn't pretending it's not blacks that are doing it. Like, the in Do the Right Thing, in Boys in the Hood, there's the scene where there's some implication of police racism, but it's coming from a black cop. But the rest of the movie, cops aren't really involved.
It's just niggers,
right? And the thing is, that cop at the beginning is kind of like, he's presented as a bad guy, but the rest of the movie kind of vindicates his viewpoint.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? I mean, because it's like, it's like, what do these niggers do? They literally sit around on the porch.
Oh, hi, guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption. Not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders, you can use crypto, you can use e-checks, you can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now.
Doing nothing, but and the one nigger who's trying to get his life together, he ends up just caught in the crossfire dead.
If that nigger, who basically is an axalt, like football nerd, if he got out, he would have the same attitude as that cop about his peers. Like, why can't you just stop being such niggers like I did?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, I wasn't a nigger, and look at me. And wow, look at you. But again, it's really interesting. It's sort of funny how they do that. They do that almost as like, I feel like when they do that in that movie, the reasoning behind it is to present you with somebody being bad and having the bad opinion and being bad to guard you against forming that opinion yourself after watching the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, so it's sort of like the in before. The wrong viewpoint. Like, this is not the lesson you're supposed to take from, even though it's very easy to take that lesson from this movie, because we're going to show you how a bunch of black kids all growing up that you're supposed to like when they're kids just become fucking criminals. And the one that doesn't, he gets murdered. And so here we are.
And then his father gives the gay speech about the gun stores. Like, oh, there's these stores that sell guns and that's why they have them. It's like, why do they want to buy guns for? What are they doing with the gun? Why?
But additionally, though, like, you want to know where you find gun stores. You find gun stores, a lot of gun stores, in, like, really white rural parts of the country. Yeah. There'd be gun stores. And that doesn't result in the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Results in a lot of plinking. In fact,
there's gun stores all over the
place.
Torn up where I live.
Pieces of paper with holes in it.
Several of them within easy driving distance of my home.
Gun stores all over the place.
And there's not, like, people are not, like, you know what's funny? I hear gunshots from my house. Oh. When I hear them, I don't assume that, like, there's going to be bodies. There's going to be human dead bodies lying around. Or that there's even been a homicide or even that anything was shot. I assume they're probably even missing what they're shooting at.
Now. I'm sure
they're I don't know if they're bagging deer or not. I don't know. Maybe they are. No, who knows?
They're hitting targets.
They're target shooting, but they're probably, there's also... Yeah, I think mostly around here it's just target shooting. I don't know if there's hunting literally inside.
So where were we here?
Yeah.
The pizza box. After the crime, VZ said, Thomas came running back to her car. He's hit. He's down. Just drive. While moving to put his gun back in his waistband.
There's a risky maneuver. He could have shot himself.
None of these ghetto gun stores apparently stock like holsters of any kind.
No, well, they just sell the gym shorts.
Yeah, they sell gym shorts.
That's the holster. The nigger holster is the gym shorts.
If you had a holster, you would be a cool guy.
I don't get how gym shorts could even hold up a piss. It seems like you just fall down.
Also,
not like even like around your.
But that's ankle. Happened.
I know it happens. I'm amazed that there's some case where it even manages to hold it. I guess the waistband's like really tight. If you're a really tight waistband, you could hold a gun with.
But, I'm a little surprised that, like, with his hands inside of a pizza box, he hit his target.
I don't understand the pizza. What is the pizza box for?
Like, he's got the gun inside the pizza box. Does
anybody not see you, like...
As soon as you start pulling the trigger, it's like, wow, that's a really loud pizza box.
Because it didn't seem to fool the security footage. Like, the camera footage of it seems everyone understands, yeah, he's got a gun behind. And the reason we know is because we see... Like a muzzle flash or bullets coming out and somebody dying when they're getting...
What is that, a 40 caliber pizza box?
I guess the pizza box is just so you can approach your victim and
he doesn't know that you've got a gun.
It's
but
the
I'm
only
like,
thing. It's not for us. The pizza box is for the victim.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm also like, I find that suspicious too.
So
because I would still see... Because it would be awkward as fuck the way you'd have to be holding that pizza box. It would look weird.
VZ was said she was scared and did what he told me to do. She said as she drove back to Delaware with Thomas, he made a mysterious allusion to his past. He said that this is his third homicide, and he said he can't go back to jail. This is a quote from her.
So he has murdered niggas before, and presumably these murders were prior to his stint in jail.
I cannot go back.
I mean, there's the murder he got let off for. I'm sure he probably did that.
He will.
It was clear from it was not clear from the testimony what other killings Thomas may have been referring to, but VZ said she felt intimidated by him. She followed his advice and got rid of her car and her phone. She said Thomas repeatedly warned her not to tell anyone about the crime. He said he knew where everybody lived. Keep my mouth quiet or else. In February, as detectives were investigating Thomas's potential role for the killing, they searched his house in Chester County and arrested him after they found a stolen gun inside. He was released on bail. Oh, he was released on bail. That's good. I guess it's not a racially motivated killing, obviously, so he can be released on bail. Several weeks later,
he was released
in March,
on bond.
Several weeks later,
murder, fucking risk.
VZ was arrested and charged with murder. A few days after that, Thomas was charged in the killing as well. Assistant District Attorney Sidney Pope said Monday that between Thomas's gun arrest in Chester County and VZ's apprehension for the killing, Thomas put a hit out on VZ, suspecting she played a role in the raid on his house. He also sent her letters in jail, Pope said, writing one of them, "You make it through this and you won't be alone." VZ said she took the message as a threat. All right. VZ choked up often on the stand Monday, and at one point said she tried to tell Thomas she could have paid him the $1,200 if it was so important to him. Still, she acknowledged that she continued seeing Thomas after the murder, and text messages displayed during the hearing showed them talking intimately the day before Vesey was arrested.
Oh, so she's just an accomplice.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's just no judgments here are made.
She's actually being charged as such, too.
Good.
Yeah. The rules...
I mean, as if it really matters, honestly.
The rules are no ripping me off, no homicide.
This shows me, too, though. There's no way to solve the nigger problem.
No.
They say it's because of poverty. You give them money, they take the money and commit crimes.
Well, we've long since on this show debunked the poverty crime thing. I mean, that's actually race realism 101. But yeah,
my question
there's no solving it. Yeah.
What can I do to fix these niggers? What can be done?
Well, here's the thing. One thing that can be done: you lock up the most feral part of the black population, and that part will one be locked up where they can't do more crimes, and they also can't influence other parts of the black population. So in general, you can calm things down, because it's not like blacks have not always been as violent as they are now. It's been an up and down roller coaster depending on law enforcement. In fact, the very strict law enforcement that came in the 1980s did put black crime down, and the way it did it was by having, and then leftists would eternally complain, Jews and liberals eternally complain, America has higher incarceration rates than any country in the world. I'm like, yes,
okay.
El Salvador right now is going to have a higher incarceration rate, and it's going to work.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a solution. Okay, you're telling me a problem. There's a high incarceration rate. Okay, how about we just let the cops shoot the niggers?
No. You know what? The real solution...
Or don't punish them in cases where they do.
The real solution...
Where it's inevitable because they have to do it.
The solution for the blacks is we just have to get them off the Democrat plantation. These Democrat-run cities on their plantations.
Blacks need to watch that video from Patrick Bet-David where he talks about how Indians raise their kids.
Oh, yes.
And they need to start taking cues from the Indian community on how to raise their kids.
Well, blacks do this. Blacks start, like, they live together and they start these business empires and whatnot. It's just that the business includes killing people.
But
they kill each other and their peers and their competitors and their customers because of the principle.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's not wrong.
I thought there were like a lot of wild African species. I thought they just didn't raise their offspring. I thought they just kind of let them go run off into the wild.
Well, sure.
Yeah, not clear that certainly the male doesn't raise the offspring.
I can go join.
But he will be basically, you know, but he doesn't even seem to live with this woman. He has a number of different women, I'm sure, in different places. This is one of them. Occasionally he comes to her house to have sex with her and smoke weed and do drugs, and then occasionally have her drive him to go do a murder.
Right.
And he'll have a number of different women that he's doing this with.
I mean, it feels to me like it's a case of black mamba family values.
He just picked the wrong ones, the wrong women. She folded. She flapped
family
her
suitcases. Mambas.
Family mambas.
Instead of family matters.
Family of mambas.
Family mambas.
It was not immediately clear what might happen next in Vesey's case. All of the court records connected to it were sealed Monday, and Pope said in court that she had significant concerns about Vesey's safety. Well, isn't Vesey a criminal, an accessory to like murder and drug dealing? Like, throw her in jail.
Put her in jail and she'll be safe there, but she probably won't be.
Thomas was jailed without bail to await trial. Oh, wow. His attorney, Michael Wiseman, declined.
Oh God, there's another thing that just completely confirms all biases of mine.
He declined to comment. Declined to comment. Dynamic silence. Edwards's relatives, meanwhile, said they were grateful for the investigation that led to Thomas's arrest. They'd be even more grateful if the cops had shot him and they'd hit the nigga lottery, but yeah, and they'll take him being off the street.
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall. Rightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's the rightstuff.biz/paywall.
Street and away from them so he can't terrorize his own family anymore. Edward's daughter, Zynaja, Zynaja, said of her father, he was a great man.
Great dad.
Doubt it, but you know.
A great dad.
Zanaja's mother, Sharonda King.
She said man, not dad.
Oh, man.
Man.
Okay. So, I thought I was hallucinating there for a second.
So the baby mama says, I'm just glad that we were able to get some justice. So she's
never going
to
get any money because your man was killed by another nigga, not by a cop. Sorry.
Edwards,
$4 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got this. Edwards is the murder victim. I thought they were talking about
the
killer.
Yeah, he's a victim. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So
that's what I'm saying. That's why these people are out of luck.
Yeah.
They should ask for his $4 million. Can we get that $4 million?
Can we get that $4 million?
I mean, I would ask.
Can we get our own $4 million? Like, forget about it.
But then that's just another. You know, that's just more money going into a drug. I mean, the state. So let's like sum this up. So the Pennsylvania Innocence Project. Less criminal blacks out on the street, gives them money to fund new criminal enterprises, and introduces criminal blacks to each other to form new crime syndicates, criminal gangs. So that's – and yet I don't know – all right, I'm not sure. I would bet, though, that there aren't any significant calls from any political figures to shut this down. Where – hey, Josh Shapiro, governor, our Jewish governor of this wonderful state, shut this shit down.
He's like, what do you mean? It's working fine.
He loves this. This is what he loves.
Yeah.
He's probably all about this kind of thing, right?
They'll probably have to do a new.
It's not fair.
They'll probably have to do a new Innocence Project review of this case and let him offer it as well. It's like, well, the $1,200 was a principled mutual combat situation.
Well, I mean, eventually, because remember what they said in Akron, just across the border in Ohio, when Ethan Lyming was killed. It was that's hood justice. They basically were saying the people in the prosecutor's office were wondering whether they should charge those niggers with anything at all, because they were saying it was hood justice. Ethan Lyming provoked them, and he just got
it's essentially
deserved.
Case closed. I mean, what are you inviting? What are you involving white people for?
It seems like justice was served. Somebody shot a Nerf gun at somebody else, and as a result, his skull was cracked on the pavement. I mean, this seems to me to be justice. That was essentially what some likely libtarded woman. We don't know who said that. We got tips that was said, but we don't know who said it. But we examined the staff of that office, and we made some educated guesses on who it might be. We don't know for sure. But there was some definitely there was one woman who was known for working for all these type of libtarded Innocence Project things that was on staff there. That's who I think probably said it. But in any case.
But see, her saying that makes me want to crack her head on the sidewalk, which I think that's fine under urban justice.
Well,
right?
I think under her viewpoint that would be okay because you've been
provoked. Okay, right?
Right, you've been provoked. She did something that made you really mad.
Yeah.
So under the credo of street justice, you can just go crack her skull on the pavement and no harm, no foul. Justice served. Because somebody got mad.
Mm. Yeah, I feel kind of mad.
Right. Right. Which is, of course, we don't do these kinds of things. Nothing here can be construed as an actual threat to anybody. We're not going to do anything like that. We don't actually believe in this. Because unlike the people that run the state of Ohio, prosecutor's office in Akron, we don't believe in so-called street justice. That's not our value set. We're just saying that under your value set, it seems like this should be okay.
Well, you need to explain to me why this would be wrong.
Right. It's up to you to tell me why it's wrong, because I don't understand why under the idea of street justice it wouldn't be okay, right? So
I have the Sharn Thomas timeline.
Where is this from?
I Googled his name.
I just realized that's how that name is spelled.
That is crazy. Oh, where did this – who made this?
Deckert LLP.
Some law firm?
Some law firm. I don't know. So November
12th.
Can you send me a link
text
to this? I want to look at this.
I was just going to read this. November 12th, 1990, 16-year-old Sharn Thomas is arrested in Center City, Philadelphia for attempted theft of a motorcycle. Sharn is taken to the 9th Police District, fingerprinted and photographed and held for many hours. The next day, Sharn's mother picks him up after sunrise, takes him to Youth Study Center for an intake interview that is scheduled for 9 a.m. 9:30, Domingo Martinez picks up $25,000 from a Center City bank and drives to North Philadelphia, headed to one of his businesses. About 9:55, a car containing three people strikes his vehicle. He stops and is shot and killed. His killers take his car, the $25,000, and flee. The murder remained unsolved until Philadelphia police homicide detectives interrogate John Stallworth. John falsely confesses and accuses several people, including Sean Thomas, of conspiring with him to rob and kill Martinez. Stallworth also names his own brother William as a co-conspirator. Police discover immediately that the confession is false because one of the people Stallworth named was in prison on the day of the murder. Police ignore the fact that the confession is false and charge Stallworth with murder, using the false confession against him. Again, it's like...
I'm just going to press X to doubt on this account. I think there's probably details we're not hearing here. But,
absolutely. Yeah. In prison and facing the death penalty for his false confession, John Stallworth agrees to cooperate and change his story, eliminating the man who is in prison from his narrative. Sean Thomas is arrested and charged with murder. He was held without bail. Stallworth agrees to cooperate and testify that Thomas was at the murder scene with him in the back seat of a second car that no eyewitnesses have reported seeing. William is the only person to claim that he saw Sean Thomas at the murder scene. December 19, 1994, Thomas is tried for murder, convicted based solely on the testimony of Stallworth. Sean Thomas is sentenced to mandatory life without possibility of parole. Sean Thomas's lawyer appeals the sentence and never files a brief. Sean's appeal is dismissed as a result. Why didn't he ever file his brief? Sean's appeal is dismissed as a result.
Probably because he had an overworked public defender or something. I don't know.
Sean successfully seeks pro se to have his appellate rights reinstated.
Oh, wow. That's a bad idea. But
97,
yeah.
Pennsylvania Superior Court affirms the conviction. 1998, Sean Thomas files a pro se PCRA petition. 99, the court dismisses the petition as untimely and without merit. Without granting an evidentiary hearing, Sean immediately appeals the dismissal. This is boring shit. Superior Court affirms the dismissal.
Yeah, this is a long-ass timeline. Basically, this is just appeals going back and forth. Interesting, but it seems that throughout all of these years, because there's a year, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2004, 2004, 2004, 2009, 2009, 2009, 2011. There's a summer for 2011. Then it goes all the way up to 2012, and it gets complicated. It seems like there's a complicated back and forth. Now, interestingly, look at the year that this timeline ends.
2017. Yeah, 2009 is when he writes to the Innocence Project, asserting his complete innocence. This Deckard LLP, who made this timeline, approves James Figorski's request for a pro bono participation so that he may investigate Sean Thomas's claims. The investigation documentation of Sean Thomas's claim is of innocence, whatever. So eventually they just work it until they get what they want.
What's interesting is that all of this, these appeals, I actually want to read this in more detail, not when we're not recording, to kind of figure out all of it, because it is complicated. But it seems that, you know, he's going pro se. I'm wondering, though, who's helping him, because there's definitely somebody helping him. Because I'm telling you one thing, this nigger's not in the law library researching pro se actions and doing this. Now, some people do that. Like, there are white nationalists who are in jail on some bullshit who have done that, right? And have actually made use of the jail law library, because apparently there's some law they do have to let you access it when you're in prison. Actually made use of that and become big nuisances by exercising their rights to continue file paperwork and things like that with the court. But given that he's doing it pro se, I'm wondering who's ghostwriting all this stuff for him. Who is behind the scenes helping him do this? Because I guarantee you there's somebody doing it. He's not doing it himself. Because some of these are very complicated things. You'd have to actually know a lot about the law and process to know you even had the right to do this or this is even an option. So there's an attorney here someplace. But yeah. Yeah, so there's a long back and forth, and basically this, you know, it's funny because it's sort of like, it's not even really clear to me, and I'm sure that this Deckard LLP law office probably had some advocacy role here, but this timeline seems like they're not really giving us the whole story of what happened with the original crime, well, I'm sure, and it's very complicated because it seems like, so he was booked on trying to steal a motorcycle. And then,
well, the point of the booking, from what I'm saying, I skipped to the end, is
trying
he's,
to provide an alibi.
He's supposed to be at this youth.
Well, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't, because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Tag it.
study center at 9 a.m. The murder happens at 9:55. So he couldn't possibly have been there. This nigga lied.
Yeah.
I was like, why did this nigga put that guy, that kid's name in the confession?
Right. I mean, look, I'm sure that we don't have the whole story here. No. And another thing is it could also be.
We do have the whole story. He was there and he participated in this murder. Like, that's the whole story. Like,
I'm sure he did. And the thing is, so apparently what, he's 16 years old when this happens?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's 16 years old. And yet, when he gets out, he's now 40 years old, so he's still in the prime of life. He's got $4 million. He starts doing crimes again. He tells VC, he tells his bitch, his getaway driver, this is a third murder.
Yeah.
So do you really think that at age 16, he'd already had two murders, is what I'm getting from this. He'd been murdering already. He was involved in criminal shit. He was doing gang shit at age 16 and killings. And he got wrapped up in this case somehow. And yeah, no, I mean, and look, all of this other shit, like, I'm sure his mother is just lying. I'm sure his mama is just lying about going to this youth center and shit. Bullshit.
Wrongly convicted Philly inmate released from prison after 24 years. Shorten Thomas claims that he was at the hearing. He was at a hearing on the day a businessman was fatally shot.
Is there a record of that?
They're not presenting it. They're just basically saying he might have been there. The 43-year-old says he got to use a cell phone for the first time, and he plans to eat the ultimate feast at Red Lobster as his first meal. Thomas was convicted of participating in the slaying of a businessman who was shot in 1990 while taking $25,000 to a check cashing store. Thomas claimed he was at a hearing on the day of the killing. The jury wasn't swayed, and he earned a life sentence in 1993.
I feel like if you're going to a financial institution in a nigger area, it's like being in a foreign war or something. Like, you need a convoy to protect you. You need to be inside a Humvee.
So this Domingo character, Domingo Martin, he was the check cashing. He owned the check cashing businesses.
Anyway, this content's getting a little stale. I want to stay on the Black Mamba subject because I saw this headline from Junior earlier today, the Justice Report. It looks like Chris Cantwell being attacked by a nigger with a machete.
Oh yeah, yeah, we got to look at this.
There is a little video.
This lady actually got fired from her. She was like a professor or something, wasn't she? Hunter College, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you put a machete, it's kind of hard not to do that, right? But again, let's look at the video. This is a New York Post video, so it's going to be your
Away from my door. Get the f*** away from my door.
Let's get out of here.
With a machete. With a machete.
Just get out of here.
Away from my door. Get the
f***
away from my door.
Let's get out of here. You can't do that.
We're just going to loop that?
Away from my door.
I guess we're just going to loop
that. I want to know what led up. I want to know more than this.
I got a lot of questions.
You should just be repeating it. I've got a lot of questions here.
So first question. This is an art teacher, right? Why does she have a machete?
It's because she's a nigger.
Because she's black.
You live in a city.
Has she been charged with
a machete?
I mean, that's a bunch of crimes right there, isn't it? I mean, you can't just hold a machete up to somebody's neck.
So this woman was involved in the 2020 George Floyd riots, and she's suing New York City for abusing her during those riots. Presumably she's claiming some kind of police brutality. Shailene Rodriguez was sacked by Hunter College. That's funny. Hunter College, that's up on the Upper East Side. It's it's not necessarily a good college, but it's an expensive college. So the manic Manhattan College professor who threatened a Post reporter with a machete has been fired. The school said Tuesday as it emerged she's suing the NYPD for allegedly abusing her during the 2020 George Floyd protests, I would say riots. Shailene Rodriguez was sacked by Hunter College just hours after the adjunct professor was caught on camera holding the blade to the veteran reporter's neck while threatening to chop him up outside her Bronx apartment. Hunter College strongly condemns the unacceptable actions of Shailene Rodriguez as taking immediate action, school spokesman Vince DiMicelli told the Post. Rodriguez has been relieved of her duties. The unhinged art professor wielded the machete and spewed the menacing remarks after the veteran postie approached her regarding a viral video that showed her flipping out on pro-life students at Hunter College earlier this month.
Yeah, I've got a video of that, too.
I want to see that video as well. So the Post reporter was doing some... Like, admittedly, ambush journalism, but still, I mean, this is, yeah.
Wait, he was doing ambush journalism? I mean, she had the fucking machete, dude.
She had the machete, but he was going to her apartment to basically do some, you know.
Boy, imagine if you held a machete up to a reporter coming to your house.
But what if I had
house?
Done that to, like, Michael Edison Hayden?
Yeah, really. What would the outcome of that have been?
I mean, honestly, given that it was a journalist she was doing this to, I'm a little bit less mad about it. But, like, still, it kind of shows you, you know, what's going on here. But let's see the other video. Edge. Oh, now she chases him. It's not just that. Apparently, she chased him.
Yeah, no, there's more video. I saw. Yeah. I don't know what happened with this clip, but there's another part where she's chasing him around.
Well, this is her flipping out at the pro-life students. So.
You're not educating. This is propaganda. What are you going to do, like anti-trans next?
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
I mean, now we're talking about abortion.
This is This is violent. You're triggering my students.
Oh, my God. I just hate these people so much. I wish I was
You can't even have a baby. So you don't even know what that is. You don't even know what this is. Get this out of here, yo. This shit.
You better comply. She's going to come back with that machete.
Right. Who's being violent, actually? And look, I mean, those guys are kind of being like pussies about it. And
what are they supposed to do?
The fact that what are they supposed to do? I don't know. I don't know.
What are you going to do? Hit me with a machete? No. Wow.
I would yell at her, at least. Oof. I'd yell at her, get the hell out of here.
Well, now you're not here for you. Now you're menacing.
Well,
probably based on race.
Look at the photos of this fucking thing.
At some point, like, being a pussy, like, at some, I don't know, at some point I'm just like, creature. You know what, like, you gotta just push back on this shit.
This next one right here.
The law is not on your side, but this country doesn't matter. This country is evil and fake.
Terrible.
Yeah, no, this woman is literally a feral negress who has been empowered.
Look at those eyes. Look, this is just like uppity nigger personified.
And not only that, but she has been empowered.
Uh-huh.
By the state. I mean, she's an art teacher. I mean, do you really think this woman is an artist of any sort?
Bolt cutters hanging on the wall.
Right. I mean, she probably, yes. So, look, this woman
is that for stealing bikes?
Supposedly an art teacher. I highly doubt she's any kind of artist.
You know,
she's
kind
constantly,
of artist.
She's simply just a political enforcer. That's why she's hired at the college. That's probably what she teaches. It's probably pure, like, anti-white ideology.
I walked Mumia Abu-Jamal empowered. Up on stage in 1983. Who the fuck are you? You're no kind of artist.
So she's been empowered. This is important. This is actually important. She's been old empowered by the state. Up. Okay, fine. I'm just never going to get it.
Go ahead. No, sorry. Old meme. Old meme. Very old meme.
So it's important to understand, though, like, she is effectively just a criminal. She's just a violent criminal, and she's been given an ideology. She's been given this fake bullshit ideology. She's been handed – it gives her power. It gives her the right to push people around, the right to attack people, and the right to be violent. And she's saying these probably pretty fucking stupid and lame anti-abortion pamphlets are violence against her students. She uses that as an excuse to attack these pamphleters. And then when somebody goes to ask her about it, she threatens them and chases them with a machete. She's simply a violent criminal. And this ideology, this anti-white ideology, has given her the excuse and the backing of the state to behave like this. Like, this is not – let me just explain something. She is not behaving – this is very important – just like those niggas with the fucking bike. This person isn't oppressed.
Right.
She is not behaving like she's oppressed. She has a cushy job at an expensive college where she's an art teacher. She's got status. Mm-hmm. She's got some apartment in a nice part of town. Somebody comes to bother her. She's waving a knife at them. Like, there's not going to be a machete. Like, there's not going to be any consequences. She doesn't think there's going to be consequences. She might still get away with it.
Premium consequences.
She might still get away with it. She's going to have all kinds of advocates. They're going to say a white male coming to her apartment, a black woman, is inherently threatening. She had every right to defend herself. Right. They're going to say all of these things. And so it's like if Hunter College is saying she went too far. Where? Hunter College, explain to me where, according to the ideology you push every day at your college, the ideas that you hired her to tell your students. How did she go too far? What was unacceptable? A white man came to her door to bother her.
Hey, it's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought. And you're in this position, listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? This is the you want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio and how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall?
What? Yeah, she should have been able to cut his head off. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's unacceptable, Hunter College. How? Where? What's unacceptable? This is actually knowledge. This is not this is required behavior. So don't try and fucking hide from the results of what you're doing. You can't. When this shit comes out, you can't then come and tell, oh, how did this happen? We know exactly how it happened. You made it happen. So I want to see her chasing this dude.
That video is on the first link. If you go down below that
it's
image.
It's also in the post story, but yeah.
Yeah, it's right there on the first article I linked at the very bottom. You'll see that video. It's her chasing the cameraman and the reporter.
Dude, we have to keep, we have to read her complaint. This
is the best part. This is they're walking to their car. And you see the one guy, I think it's the cameraman, he starts to kind of like gesture at something behind him. And then she comes around the corner with the fucking machete.
Like, and I was like, she's unhinged. No, she's not unhinged. This is just who
we have
she
a problem here.
This is just who she is. But
this video so here, this is it.
But hold on, before we watch this, I want to read from her complaint against the NYPD because it's very funny. In other developments, it also emerged Rodriguez is embroiled in a legal saga against the NYPD over allegations that officers abused her when she was arrested in the Bronx during a George Floyd protest in June 2020. She claims she suffered nerve damage from being zip-tied when she was nabbed and put in a prisoner van with 14 other protesters. It claims she was attacked by cops while trying to leave the protest. Officers allegedly pulled her hair, shoved her face into a gate, and repeatedly punched her in the stomach. Once she was in custody, she told a cop her restraints were too tight. Tell me a nigger who in the history of the world hasn't said that upon being handcuffed. The officer yanked on her zip ties hard and tightened them even further, causing her to scream out in pain. And then she says she felt pain with every jerk of the van during the lengthy ride to the precinct. She claimed the zip ties weren't removed for the next 2 hours, and by then her wrists were already severely injured.
Poor baby.
She claimed she suffered swelling and a slew of long-term injuries, including bilateral thumb numbness from nerve damage.
My response from the police department would be like, looks like your fucking wrists were working pretty damn good when you had that machete in your hands.
I don't see her not being able to handle a machete. The lawsuit also adds that the injuries impacted her ability to make art. I doubt it. She never had any ability to make art. She never made art. She's simply a political she's literally just a political instrument, and Hunter College is guilty for ever having hired her.
Look at that gesture. Look at the little hand gesture. He's like,
She's still got the machete? She came outside to fuck
with
him? Oh, she chased
it.
She's
waving it around.
She's fucking waving a machete around.
Is there audio on this?
No.
You've got multiple people running
now. This is like a dash cam.
They show different angles.
The cameraman is clearly feeling obviously in fear of his life.
Oh, somebody else is dead.
Dude,
this lady is. Where are the charges against her? Oh, okay.
It's not clear.
Well, the one concern I have is with them running away like that. That really endangers her life.
She could fall. She could trip, and she's holding a knife, and everyone knows what happens if you trip while holding a knife.
Well, that makes it look like they're fleeing some kind of threat. It just communicates to police and other observers.
Yes. If did any of them yell for help? Because if they did, that racist action can't be excused because that's essentially trying to get her murdered.
Right.
Now, of course, charges against her from the protests were dismissed in September 2020, as all charges against all rioters were summarily dismissed in all courts across the entire country, probably faster in New York. So actually, it looks like the commenters in the New York Post are kind of actually starting to get it a little bit. What's funny is that it's sort of funny how conservatives like managed to like miss the points and focus on minutia. Who hired her? What are the HR standards in this case for checking the judgment of her hiring manager? It's like, she was hired because she's black. That's it. There's literally no other reason. Okay. And if you don't understand that, then yeah. Someone says, I'm shocked they fired her. I would have thought they would have instantly promoted her after this courageous act. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, come on now. Let's like conservative. Let's stop being dumb. Who hired her? What's the thing that annoys me so much about comments like that from conservatives is they assume some sort of functional institution exists to begin with. That right. There was just a mistake made at an otherwise functional institution. No.
Just slipped through the vetting, you know?
No. This is the purpose of places like Hunter College. This is why they exist. There's no HR department that made a bad call. This is like, no, stop thinking like that, conservatives. You don't live in a real country. You don't live in a real country with real institutions that do real things like vetting employees. None of that shit happens. Hunter College is there to enforce this fucking anti-white Jewish ideology. Right. She's there as an enforcer. This is unfortunate for them.
You failed vetting. You showed up with a machete. Yeah,
They also weren't pressured into. They weren't pressured into hiring her for fear of some consequences for being racist. This is who they want.
Right. That's why they want this.
This is an inconvenience for them that they had to fire her.
Yeah, this is annoyance for them. This is bad. It's kind of like their eye rolling as they do.
These are bad for the optics. Oh, God.
In fact, like, there's a good argument to be made that them succumbing to the pressure to fire her is just white supremacy.
Yeah.
Because it's based on the white notion that you shouldn't chase people around with a machete.
Yeah, the expectation is that you shouldn't be met with a machete when you knock on someone's door. Like, that's who you think you are.
When the expectation that a white man knocking on a black woman's door to ask her why she behaved badly in public previously, that man shouldn't be met with the threat and possibly the act of having his throat slit by a machete. That is actually white supremacy. It really is. That's actually white supremacy. And so Hunter College is guilty of white supremacy, or at least succumbing to pressure from white supremacy to fire her. No, she was well within her rights. And she's also well within her rights to chase these dangerous white men who are the only thing they could do in a black neighborhood like the Bronx is possibly summon police who will just commit murders upon the whole population. So again, Hunter College, you should be ashamed of yourself. You have completely betrayed your mission and your values by firing this woman. She should be promoted. And in fact, the New York Post and everybody else should be sued, and they should go to jail. A white man going to a black woman's apartment to bother her and ask her a question. No, that's unacceptable. His throat should be cut. The cameraman's throat should be cut. And that would be justice. And like, frankly, it's shameful that Hunter College succumbed to pressure to fire this woman. I mean, I think they need to explain it. Why? What did she do wrong? Specifically, what did she do wrong?
Right.
And conservatives, like, let's stop pretending. I mean, this is obviously a heavy dose of sarcasm here, but at the same time, it's real. So, conservatives, what, like, do you think Hunter College, which is one of the most lip-tarded colleges, but again, find me a college in New York City that's not. What kind of standards of hiring do you think that they have there? What do you think is going on? No, like, stop thinking you live in a country with institutions that function on anything other than a virulent anti-white Jewish ideology. Every institution functions this way, and the closer they are to New York City or within New York City, the worse it's going to be, which is why even though there are Jews that would like to probably clean up the streets of New York City, this ideology is so far gone, they can't do it. They're going to face too much resistance from their own janissaries that they've empowered, as well as many Jews who are totally and firmly bought in on the fact that niggers should just be allowed to roam free to do violence against white people and anybody else because of their anti-white ideology. There are many Jews who are so far gone on that they'll fight for it, mm-hmm. and they'll even go up against like kind of the rich, wealthy business and legal power Jews that want to clean the city up because they need to use it as a power center.
Right.
And so this is a conflict between these groups, and I think in the end it's just too far gone. And what's going to happen is Jews are going to start abandoning New York City for Florida as a result, because they have Florida pretty firmly in hand with Mr. Ron DeSantis. But yeah, like,
are they good? Are they though? Are they just going to like fucking build a wall around Rockland County?
Well, something? They do that. They built those Orthodox Jews aren't going anywhere, and they build a wall and they use the federal government to make sure that the goyim in the area can never do anything about it. And they're going to increasingly build walls around their Jewish neighborhoods.
Did they just say no to refugees over there?
Well, there's a whole issue going on in New York State. There's a lot of places that are saying no to being having, because now Eric Adams is talking about busing them just like everywhere. So Long Island is.
Wait, what? Mike was going to say what? Did we all miss that? Is that because this is the free fag edition? Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
He's having protests. Some towns, this town outside of Syracuse, just filed a restraining order against New York City.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, this dude is clearly some kind of fag. I'm sorry. I don't know of any heterosexual man that makes faces like that. And if you watch the full video, at least of the one in the upper right, he's also doing really gay body language.
Well, he's just working on his Bierman laugh. That's his Bierman laugh.
It looks like he's trying to eat a large rabbit.
Looks like he's trying to swallow a dick. Oh. I mean, I'm sorry, this dude, because that guy's also really effeminate. I never really saw Ron DeSantis speak until like a few months ago because I wasn't very interested in him. I mean, I was reading about him and talking about him, but I never saw him speak because he's really boring. He's also very effeminate. By the way,
said that they ran into Bill Mitchell.
Oh, hey, who's this guy back here?
I'm hesitant to even. Who the fuck is that?
Oh, they shoot. Somebody's been shooped in there.
Anyway, this guy ran to Bill Mitchell and he's like, he kind of comes off as sort of fucking gay.
That Bill Mitchell. I was like, wait,
kind of gay.
Well, he is gay. I thought that was settled science.
Is Bill Mitchell gay? I wasn't quite sure.
Well, he's still a bachelor after all these years.
Oh, okay, so he's just gay.
He's gay. No, he's definitely gay. I thought this was unquestioned. Like so many in the conservative pundit sphere, he's just gay. I mean, come on, dude. You're telling me this guy's not gay?
What did that guy say?
I don't know. Probably call him a fag.
It's like, what's the difference between a nigger and a pepperoni pizza? Is that reacting out here? Like,
what is the difference between a nigger and a pepperoni pizza?
Yeah, I'm curious. What's the
pepperoni pizza can feed a family of four? You never heard that before?
Probably have, but I forgot the punch. There's a number of differences.
Why does he look like Jerry Seinfeld?
What's the deal with Disney?
I'm telling you, man, this guy is gay. They've got compromise.
Even worse, he appears to be a man. Even worse, he appears to be a manlet. I mean, who's he?
Oh, he's definitely a manlet.
Is he standing in front of his Republican Andre the Giant behind him? Like, what the fuck?
Well, that's why they call him tiny. That's why Trump was calling him Tiny D.
Oh, I thought he was trying to say that he had a small D, kind of like small hands.
I think he's like. I think there's a double entendre going on there, as usual. You know, Tiny D.
Tiny D. Have him stand next to Heavy D, do a comparison.
Yeah. Looks like he's already standing next to him in that video. Heavy D's there in the background, right?
Heavy D and the boys. Tiny D and the boys. That's a good one. Get on that, somebody.
Tiny D and the goys.
Tiny D and the goys. But they're all at the Wailing
Tiny
Wall.
Tiny D and the butt goys.
Yeah. Ron DeSantis will launch his presidential bid with Elon Musk.
Oh, you didn't hear about this? He's doing it tonight.
I didn't hear about it on
Twitter.
This show.
So he's
didn't happen on this show. Did it happen?
Yeah, it didn't happen on this show yet. Yeah, so he's going to do his. He's going to launch his presidential bid on Twitter with Elon Musk, and I'm like, So basically now we're at a point. So let's step back from everything else we know about America right now and just comment on this for a second. We have a point now where the presidential contender for one of the parties is basically announcing his campaign to the richest man in the world. He's sitting down with the richest man in the world, or on paper the richest man in the world, to get his approval for his presidential campaign. And Musk has said he supports DeSantis. He's multiple times said this on Twitter, that if there's any candidate he likes for 2024, it's Ron DeSantis.
Wow.
Because he's not a liberal lunatic, but he's also not going too far like Donald Trump or something like that. He's doing the – and it seems that now the move that Republicans are trying to do, since a lot of the –
hold on, let me stop you right there. So he's not going too far like that. So Ron DeSantis, he goes and he signs into law a bill that attacks the First Amendment in his state. He goes and he signs that in Israel. Donald goes a little too far. He gives Israel the Golan Heights. So is that what we're talking about here? Like
when you go and you sign an anti-free speech bill in a foreign country, this is what we call centrist rationalism.
Mm.
So this is, seems to be the new thing they're trying to promote. Okay. Is like they're going centrist from like Zionism. They're going central. Well, yeah, of course. But it's all here's the thing. It's all Zionism.
Right.
It's all Zionism, and they're just trying to give it a different name. So they're going from like kind of COVID-tard, weird conspiracy stuff, and like obscurantist religious claims. They've literally shifted, and the same the amazing thing, we talked about this yesterday on Striking Mike, it's the same personalities, like the same kinds of people writing this stuff, supporting this, that we're talking about Christianity, Catholicism, Benedict Option a couple years ago to kind of try and keep the online right interested, are now literally shifting away from that and towards what they are calling like centrist rationalism. And it's the same people. So they went from literally like religious kookery to now what they're calling rationalism. And this and involved in this rationalism is stuff like Patrick David, who's saying Indians raise their kids better. They do. They have better values. They teach their kids to do STEM and they teach them about making money. And that's why they're doing better than you stupid left wing white people. And so everybody should learn from Indians and be more like them. Everyone should be penny pinching effeminate conformist pieces of shit, essentially. So except for the one Indian guy who, you know, did the right thing and tried to take over the government with a swastika flag. But anyway, we'll talk about that.
Well, I don't know. What size U-Haul do I need to carry this swastika flag around? What's the biggest one you got?
So actually, since we brought that up, we could real quick, what was your take on it? That you said was very simple and easy.
Oh, goddamn.
So we were talking about on prep.
Right. I was going to say it was continuation with your talk the other day about a white having to prove he's not, like you're talking about Penny has to do all this rhetoric that he's not racist before he can access the legal system to argue that he was acting in self-defense. So I'm wondering, like, if you're white and you have a car accident, do you have to not have a swastika flag before you can have like a fair hearing about your car accident? Like if you,
particularly
like
if you're not at fault.
Like if you, if there's a car crash and there's a Nazi flag in your car, is the accident just your fault? Is it just default? It's in the default judgment. Like as far as like insurance is going to you're just
insurance
fucked.
Doesn't have to cover that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're just out because like, is that the new thing? Or do you have to come up with a reason why that flag is in there? And hope that somebody believes you that it's not because you're not like basically we're not even talking about assaults and crime like talking something like that's an accident where you're just trying to
it's an accident
where you're just trying to like
I don't understand the context of that.
We had to figure out who's at fault and who has to pay and this stuff. Like now it's like that's the new like disqualifier, that's the new DQ is like, oh, this guy this white supremacist had a car wreck. I mean, we already have that answer with James Fields apparently. So
with this Pajit, whose name is Sai Varshith Kandula, who had the swastika in a U-Haul, this was not an accident that he had it. He very much had it on purpose. This is according to the media, so they're saying, just listen, this is real quick. A Missouri man with a Nazi flag planned for months to seize power and kill the president before authorities say he crashed a U-Haul truck in security barriers near the White House Monday. Sai Varshith Kandula, 19, of Chesterfield, Missouri, told Secret Service, first of all, that name of Chesterfield, Missouri. I mean, let's step over that.
Yeah, it's fine.
This is America, 2023. We'll move past that. He flew from Washington, D.C., from a St. Louis suburb on a one-way ticket after 6 months of planning. He wanted to get to the White House, seize power, and be put in charge of the nation. According to charging documents, he also said he would kill the president if that's what I have to do. I'm wondering where he said all this. Monday evening, Candler rented a U-Haul truck, drove to the White House, crashed into a security barrier near the north side of the Lafayette Square, and waved around a Nazi flag he pulled from a backpack, according to documents. Candler told police he brought the flag because Nazis have a great history, and he admired their authoritarian nature, eugenics, and their one-world order, according to court documents. So,
okay,
here's my simple take is this. Who radicalized this man? The Jews did. And I'm not saying that they directly like got into chats with him and told him to do this. I'm saying he is apparently in his own mind playing the bad guy in their script. So his view of what he's doing is like he wasn't part of an online white nationalist group.
He wasn't part
of an online anti-Semitic group. He wasn't talking about Jews running
like
the media.
We radicalized him. It's not like white people are, you know, we should bring this guy in.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. There's no allegations of that. Where did he get the idea? It's probably from watching TV. Like, he got the idea to do this from watching.
Hey, everybody. Jordan Peterson here. I wrote a book about 12 rules for how to live your life. And I have a 13th rule for you. Subscribe to TRS. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your needs.
Watching Jewish TV. Hmm. Right? So That's really the only thing I have to say.
The revolution will be run by H-1Bs.
Well, the thing is, when you have the Jew media narrative out there,
they're doing and then you jobs have as many, white nationalists won't do.
Well, that's actually kind of true, if you think about it.
It is true.
He's kind of like directly, he's like, well, white nationalists aren't getting this job done.
Is
like,
there
anything, I'm gonna go,
is there anything on who his parents are? Like, who he's, you know...
I'm sure maybe more information will come out, but this doesn't seem to really be having the effect they want. So it's kind of like no one really cares. Literally, what's amazing is once it's not a white guy, none of it matters.
Let's just
despite their attempts. And this also, like, again, there's going to be a lot of people saying this shit is just fake. And honestly, I can't even really blame them this time because it seems so fucking fake.
Well, it's just the retarded shit that blends into the background of American. It's like this is just a retarded
America.
Well,
that's America. Actually why people don't really care. This isn't making much of a splash because, again, once the guy's not white, kind of the rest of it doesn't matter. And now that you're just dealing with media copes, just the same way that Texas shooter wasn't white.
Right.
He was some fucking beaner incel who was also crazy. And he didn't just praise, like, they're saying, oh, he said white supremacist things. He said all kinds of shit. Anything he saw on the internet was regurgitated in his stupid document that he had, which they wasted no time in telling you what his motivations are. He said he admired Audrey Hale. He said all kinds of stuff. He just liked violence and mischief. And so, yeah, there were some 4chan memes in whatever his document was. But he also said all kinds of crazy shit. And the thing is, once it wasn't a white guy, it didn't matter. Nobody really cared. And their copes of like, and it sort of fits in that now you have this because it's almost like you can almost believe this was a false flag where they're like, yeah, they're just trying to promote this non-white white supremacist thing so that whenever they know that increasingly violent outbursts in America are going to be done by non-whites, the white mass shooter meme is dead. And it's dead because one, we killed it by showing the actual data. And secondly, increasingly, these outburst shootings aren't white people. They're just not.
They're just not.
And as the country gets less white, it's even less likely that a white person is going to do that. And in fact, our influence makes it less likely that white people are going to do that as well. So they're faced with this problem that increasingly these outbursts, not just the criminal shootings, but the violent spree outbursts, because I'm mad at the world, I go and shoot a bunch of people. That shit is going to be non-white people. Increasingly, and it already is. That already is increasing. It already is disproportionately non-white people that do that. So they're going to have to be telling people, well, these people are also white supremacists, which they've been doing over the last few months, and it's not really hitting. But this kind of even hits that narrative. This kind of even further is why I don't blame somebody that says this is just fake. But the other possibility is this guy's a crazy person. What kind of inputs do you get in America in the media? It's constantly talking about Nazis, white supremacists, evil, this, evil, that. So this guy, a lunatic, goes and does something crazy. And, of course, these are the reference points in his brain already because of all the shit that's out there in the media, so it's hardly surprising that he did that, right? So it could go, you could go either way with it, but you know, that's what's going on. So that was my fairly simple take on it, I suppose.
Yeah. Just another insane person in this insane asylum.
Right. But what, when you have an insane person, what are the, what are their inputs?
Right.
Right. Like their insane outbursts are going to be based on the kinds of shit that they're seeing around them. So of course, what is he seeing? Well, Jews obsessing about Nazis. So he goes and I'm a Nazi as he does something lunatic. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was a real head scratcher.
Dude, yeah, the amount of he's doing the jobs white people won't jokes going around. Oh, you God. Said I've seen like 10 people make the same joke.
The H-1B Nazi stormtrooper is just like, it's funny as hell.
And of course, he's doing a half-assed job of it. Right. That's the other thing. He's doing it is like, it's just the quick, easiest. I just wanted to close the ticket. Look, I was given a job. I was given the job overthrow a U.S. government for Nazism and I just wanted to close the ticket. Had been open. It's been bothering me. It's been on my desktop. I just wanted to close the ticket.
I just want to know about his plan. So you got a U-Haul. And you think because the U-Haul is big, it's just going to go through that security barrier? It's just going to go
Well, again, like I said, maybe a white supremacist did open a ticket on this guy's help desk. Like, look, listen, overthrow U.S. government on behalf of Nazism. And he's like, okay, close ticket. I'm going to close ticket now.
Took me 6 months to plan renting a U-Haul. I guess it probably got him 6 months to get the money together to travel.
I want to know where they got all this information about that from. Like, where? What are they seeing?
Were they online postings or what? Well, they seem to imply that he just spilled his guts to the Secret Service, no?
Oh, yeah, he just said it.
I mean, but there's no way to verify that, and I have no reason to believe anything they really say.
That's the other thing. There's just, yeah, so this could all just be fake.
So,
is there any retarded. Is there eyewitnesses luckily that saw him?
Luckily, it's retarded, so who cares? I just saw the famous photo of it just, like, spread out on the street. Like, okay.
But, I haven't even seen that.
I mean, luckily because of all the way the conservatives online like react to Patriot Front or whatever, just like when you see something like this, everyone just like, oh, that's fake. It's feds anyway. So
yeah, people are just going to be like, it's fake. And the people that aren't going to care. Again, if the person isn't actually white, it really doesn't matter. That's right. What's so interesting is the way that they've done the way that what they've actually done is this weird, like their anti-whiteness is so weird that like, there's this crazy thing where if a crime or a violent outburst doesn't involve a white person, it really doesn't matter. Like, people actually don't care about it, one way or the other. Pro or anti-whites just let it go, even as they stretch credulity to make every non-white a white supremacist. Eventually going to blame every violent outburst on white supremacy, one way or the other.
One of my favorite Twitter accounts, Brian Krasenstein. It's like, when I want to know what's going on, what the copes are, is where I go.
Yeah.
It offends me that so many ignorant people on Twitter are pretending that since the U-Haul driver had a Nazi flag and wasn't white, then it isn't a big deal. This completely overlooks one of the biggest narratives that led to the Holocaust and the killing of 6 million Jews.
Wait, what?
Nazis define Jews by race, not religion. They claim the Jewish people belong to a separate inferior race. So when you say he's not white, he can't be a Nazi, you're basically ignoring the fact that Nazis hated Jews. And that many of their symbolism is centered around that Jew hatred to this very day. When a Jewish person sees a person with a Nazi flag, whether white, black, brown, etc., we see it as a threat and an attack on our right to exist. Stop being ignorant. Educate yourselves, please. And then there's the photo in question. I just have a feeling that just is going to fall flat. Like, I guess.
I mean, I get what he's arguing, but I'm also like, well, that's how I feel when I see a Zionist flag. I see that Jew flag and I feel like that's a threat to my existence. And I'm right. I'm correct because it is. And Palestinian, forget about it. That's a direct threat to their
existence. He's getting ratioed and he's actually responding to people critic. That's not good. Kraz, you got to know better than that.
I'm sorry. But what's wrong with what he said? I mean, according to Jew ideology, he's telling the truth, right?
It's the obvious. Like, you're comparing a U-Haul truck with an Indian guy to Nazi flag to the Holocaust. This is getting ridiculous. You're trying to push this false flag harder than the MSM. It's kind of pathetic. And then he's denying that he was doing it. No, you're misreading me. it's like
why? Okay. I'm happy that they're having a weird problem here. But again,
it's just a funny thing. It's
like, based on my analysis of Jew ideology, he didn't really go too far out of bounds. Mm. But yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, let's take a break. I'm going to get some lunch.
Take a break. I'm thirsty.
Starving.
Hungry, thirsty, all kinds of things. I don't think that's Wednesday. Wednesday show, probably worst show. No Merchant Minute, so. Then again, sometimes Monday. It's a tough one. We're all waiting for Friday's show. Best show. So we'll be back in a few with Hour 2.
You are listening to The Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La, 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 la.